I want to reveal to you a method of confession as revealed by God the Father to Doctor of the Church and Saint and Mystic, Saint Catherine of Siena, that will help you to completely eliminate your purgatory. You definitely want to hear this and put this into practice right now. Let's get right into it. Now, first of all, who is Saint Catherine of Siena? She is an Italian saint and mystic that lived in the 1300s. She has this ongoing conversation with God the Father that is now this book called The Dialogue. It is one of the most incredible books that you have ever read. However, it is difficult at times to interpret, so I'm doing a lot of the legwork for you. Now, essentially what she's revealing something that the church often talks about, but rarely ever explains, this concept that when we go to confession, we can have two different types of disposition for confession to work. We can have perfect contrition, and if you have perfect contrition, then both the sin and the guilt and the punishment is completely erased, meaning if you had perfect contrition when you went to confession and then died right after, you would go straight to heaven, because confession is this sacrament where it calls upon the blood of Jesus to completely erase your sins. That's the simplest way of explaining it. But not everyone is going to have perfect contrition. We can also have imperfect contrition where we are sorry that we've done these things, but not in a way that is fully satisfactory. So we still have the punishment. We still have the purgatory, so to speak, that we have to do. So basically her method explains how to have this perfect contrition. Now, if you stick until the end, I will reveal to you this incredible prayer that Saint Catherine of Siena wrote miraculously when she first learned to write. This prayer will help you get perfect contrition along with this method that I'm about to teach you. Now, I will first read to you from the book the fruits of this method. So listen to what God the Father tells her. If you act thus, I will satisfy for thy sins and for those of my other servants. So this is not only going to satisfy for your sins, but also even for the sins of other people. Inasmuch as the pains which you will endure will be sufficient through the virtue of love for satisfaction and reward, both in thee and in others. In you, you will receive the fruit of life when the stains of thy ignorance are erased, and I shall not remember that you ever did offend me. In others, I will satisfy through the love and the affection which you have to me, and I will give to them according to the disposition with which they will receive my gifts, in particular to those who dispose themselves humbly and with reverence to receive the doctrine of my servants, the teaching of the church. I will remit both the guilt and penalty, since they will thus come to know true knowledge and contrition for their sins. So this is this sort of promise that if you do everything that he has just told you, it will remit the sin, the guilt, and the punishment, meaning no purgatory for you and even for others. Now, what is this method? This is principally a way of preparing for confession, meaning when you go to confession, you'll do everything as you normally do, but you will prepare in this way to make your confession significantly more effective. Listen to this. It's five steps that he specifically outlines. I'm going to go through each of those. The first step is our love has to come from thinking about the sufferings of Jesus. We cannot have the love come from here or from there or from some other place. We have to specifically meditate on the sufferings of Jesus in the Passion, and from those meditations, allow those to grow our love for Jesus. Now, when you do this, you need to think or pick your favorite scene in the Passion. So you have to ask, what's the scene that moves me the most, that moves me to love Jesus the most? Now, he's very specific that we have to have a love that is born from meditating on the Passion of Jesus. That's the first step before you go to confession. The second step is that you have to see that because of us, he suffered, and have true contrition for Jesus, not because of us. So whenever you look at the scene, whatever is the scene that you're meditating on, for instance, the crowning with thorns, you have to make this connection mentally and in your heart. Jesus was crowned with thorns. Jesus was nailed to the cross because of me. He did it because of me. And you need to let yourself be sorry, not because you're a bad person. Sometimes people, when they go to confession, they're sorry because, well, I'm so embarrassed that I did this. I can't believe I did that. No, you need to have sorrow because Jesus suffered for your sins. And you need to make this very specific mental and heart connection to what you were meditating on. That is step two. The third step is you must strive to have, as he says, true humility and think. Now, this is exactly what you need to think when you're meditating on the suffering and you're making this connection that he suffered that because of this sin that I'm about to confess. You need to say and think, I deserve suffering and punishment. So do you see what God the Father is doing? He's wanting us first to start by looking at Jesus who was punished for our sins and thinking about that very specifically, and then realizing he suffered because of what I'm about to confess. And then he, third step, wants you to make the connection to realize, wait, Jesus doesn't deserve to suffer like that. I deserve suffering and punishment. Everything that he went through, I deserve that for what I'm about to confess. And you need to have this sincere sentiment build up in you. This is a third step. The fourth step is incredibly important because he always emphasizes it. And although I understand it in my mind, it's very specific. And sometimes I don't know exactly why he says it always, but he does say it. He says, we must see his blood and let this inflame a supernatural love in us, which then grows in us the desire to suffer like Jesus. So let's kind of walk through these steps because they logically connect. We're looking at Jesus's suffering and we let that suffering grow love in us. Then we make this connection in our mind that he suffered what I'm looking at because of what I'm about to confess. Then we make the jump to, and he didn't deserve to suffer like that. I deserve suffering and punishment. I deserve the suffering and punishment that he took on for me. Then we need to look at the blood that he spilt, because in the religious mind, in God's mind, it's the blood that has value. So we look at the most precious thing, the blood that he spilt, and we let it cause this grace, this supernatural love grow in us. Now, we cannot, this fourth step, we cannot force it to happen. We cannot look at the blood of Jesus and force it to make us love Jesus, to love God. We need to let that kind of looking at that consequence of our sins, we need to let that work itself in our hearts to grow this supernatural love. And then we need to let that love build in us this desire to suffer, to say, you know what? I want to suffer for Jesus just like he suffered for me. So do you see how it's kind of going? You're looking and then it's coming to you and then it's going around. So there's a certain sort of motion. Now, the fifth step, we must strive to be sorry for our sins, not just for our sins, but also for the sins of other people that sin against God. This is sort of one of the secrets of this, that when we do this, we must strive to be sorry for all of us, to be sorry for anyone that has offended Jesus. Now, this specific supernatural feeling that God the Father is describing to her is something that I have encountered in many other people. There are people that at random times, God will infuse in them the way that he feels about certain sins. Now, if you've ever felt that, comment down below so that other people can see that this is real. They will, for some random reason, or perhaps because they're meditating on this, feel the sorrow and the pain that God feels for different sins. Can you imagine if those people, just after they had felt sorrow for all these sins, went to confession? Don't you think that they would do the best confession of their lives, that they would then have perfect contrition? This is exactly what you're trying to recreate through this logical five steps. You're looking at the suffering. You're seeing that he suffered for you. You're seeing that you should have suffered instead of him, and that he even not only suffered, but spilt his blood for your sins. And it's because of you that he spilt his blood. And you're taking that in deeply just before you go to confession, which is the sacrament of washing yourself with the blood of Jesus. Does this all make sense? And you're not only sorry for your sins selfishly, you're sorry for everyone's sins, which is what we should always feel, but we don't because maybe we're not told that we should. Isn't this, I mean, this is a radical departure of our kind of narrow way of confessing our sins just so that we don't go to hell. That is not enough. We need to confess our sins better to get more from the sacrament and to arrive at this perfect contrition so that we can completely erase our purgatory. Now, as I promised, I want to share with you a miraculous prayer. She wrote this. She miraculously learned to write, and the first thing that she learned to write was this prayer. I pray this prayer before every single time that I record a video. Now, I got this holy card in Siena, Italy. Listen to this. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. By your power, I journey to you, God, and grant me charity with fear. Protect me, O Christ, from every evil thought. Warm me with your sweet love so that each burden seems light to me. My Holy Father and my sweet Lord, help me always in all my endeavors. Christ love, Christ love. I absolutely love that prayer. Now, I also want to share with you that if you're wanting to grow in your life of holiness, especially leading up to the season of Lent, there's this amazing conference on the Holy Face that will be held right here. Here's the information. Father Chris Aylar and others will be there. And I have this feeling that Father Chris Aylar is going to give the talks of his life, the best he's ever done. I will be there. I will be there next week. You need to go so that you can meet me. We can meet each other. It's going to be incredibly fruitful, a two-day conference. It is Tuesday, February the 17th and Wednesday, February the 18th. So it literally begins our Lent. My friends, if this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.